Well, if you're here last week or just joining us this morning, we're taking a look at Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. Last week, we looked at verses 1 through 3, and if you recall, verses 1 through 3 focused on obedience. Moses was given the task of being the mediator between God and his people. So Moses, being put in this position of mediator, was told by God to give and teach his statutes and commands to God's people, so that they may prosper in the land that God had promised them. Understand, this is the Old Testament. Old Testament law was about being obedient to the law, and through this obedience allowed for a closer fellowship with God. But the law also pointed out our sinful nature. The law allowed for God's people to recognize sin, and for us today. By having the law, God's people in the Old Testament and believers today can recognize that we are sinners and we are going to fail in our obedience. We see this throughout the Bible and the world today. But remember, Christ fulfilled the law, and today's church is not held to that law. But the principles of the Old Testament law are still expectations to be held by the church today. We see this in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Paul also referenced the law several different times in the New Testament, outside of just Ephesians 6. So as you can see, the subject of obedience is very important, especially when it comes to following God in the Old Testament, but also for believers to be obedient to Christ in the New Testament. The focus on obedience is also what brings us today to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. But before we dive into this scripture, let me tell you why these particular verses have been laid so heavy on my heart, especially this past year and right now. Since March of last year, we all have been dealing with fear, frustration, anger, and multiple other issues that have been brought about with this pandemic. One issue in particular that has been laid on my heart is the fact that students are now having school virtually and are stuck at home more than they have ever been in their lives. And that also goes for parents and other adults with the issues. Lives have been turned upside down. There have been multiple issues that have risen in many homes. With all this, we are seeing the rise in anxiety, fear, and our normal everyday lives have been turned upside down from what we're used to. For various reasons, we have seen families literally disappear from the church and have not been able to worship with their church family. But there is some good that can come out of all this chaos and controversy. There is good that can come out of this pandemic if we all just set our eyes back on Christ. Amen. And strive to be obedient to Him. Instead of focusing on this pandemic, the world, and all the bad that we are constantly seeing on TV and social media, instead of focusing on these things, let us focus on what is really the most important part for believers, and that is Christ. Let's focus on how we can teach God's word in our homes and in the community. This is what brings us to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. So let's open our Bibles to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 and follow along. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." And these words, that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Amen. Now let's look back at verses 4 and 5. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." Now, these verses are known as the Shema in Judaism. Shema in Hebrew means hear. So in verse 4, Moses starts out by saying, "Hear, O Israel." So Moses is intentionally getting their attention, not just to particular individuals or certain individuals, but to all of God's people, to all of Israel. Moses is demanding their undivided attention to carefully pay attention to what he's about to say because it is very important. Then he follows with, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." Moses is laying out for Israel that God is the God over all Israel and that there is no other God. God is making his presence very clear. With all his people and direct command that he is the God over all Israel and he is the only one. The promised land, the Canaanites over there, worship multiple gods. So this is the reason why God made it clear to his people that when they are over there, that there is one God and he is over them. So that they may not worship any other gods because that is against his commands. And moving forward into verse 5, Moses is building on to the importance of verse 4 with verse 5, and it says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." What Moses is telling Israel is that they are to love God with all their being, everything they have. In the Old Testament, God's people demonstrated their love for God through obedience to the law. Basically, Moses is telling Israel that God commands that they love him with all their being. Everything about them should be focused on glorifying him and his glory being seen through them. Eugene Merrill says it this way. He says, "The heart is, in the Old Testament anthropology, the seat of the intellect, equivalent to the mind or rational part of humankind. The soul refers to the invisible part of the individual, the person, quote, person, including the will and sensibilities. The strength is, of course, the physical side with all its functions and capacities." It contains everything about us. Christopher Wright also puts it this way. He says, "Just as a Decalogue, Ten Commandments is both statement and command. So this most fundamental of Israel's creedal traditions, the Shema, is both an affirmation about God and a call for commitment to God." In a similar way, verses 4 and 5 have the same importance in the New Testament. In Matthew 22, 34 through 38, "But when the Pharisees hear that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to them, 'You shall love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment.'" Even though the church today is not held to the Old Testament law, the main principle has remained the same in the Old Testament and New Testament. We are to love God with all our being. Obedience to the law and performing works do not matter if we do not love God and have a relationship with him. But Moses does not stop there. He goes on to command Israel to take the commands from verses 4 and 5 back to their homes and to teach their children. Let's look at verses 6 through 9. It says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." In verse 6, it says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." What this is saying is that God's people will follow God's command, not because it is just the law, but because they understand who God is. The obedience comes from their understanding of who God is and the love they have for God. God's people are obedient because they love him. Because of this love for God, parents and families should be teaching these commands in their home. Verses 7 through 9 lays out the perfect plan God has for his people to teach their children to love God, to desire him in their everyday life and in everything they do. In verse 7, it says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." There's a reason why I'm repeating myself, to understand the importance of why we need to do this. God's people are commanded to teach their children God's commands intentionally and diligently. When we are home, when we are away, when we get up in the morning, and when we lie down at night, we should be teaching our children about God and His commands. In all facets of life, God is there. Whether at home, at work, or even in the extracurricular activities that we have. You know, the things that make us so busy in our lives right now. There is always opportunity to teach our children about God and who He is. But to go even further than just the home. Verses 8 through 9 says, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." I like how Peter Craigie describes these verses. It says, whether taken literally or metaphorically. The signs described in verses 8 through 9 indicate that the individual, his home, his community, were to be distinguished in their character by obedience to the commandments as a response of love of God. Did y'all hear that? The character by obedience to the commandments as a response of love of God. In the Old Testament, Israel was commanded to be obedient to God's commands, but that obedience comes from their love for God. That love for God would lead to obedience, which in turn will be taught to individuals, to their families, and out in their communities. Because of their love for God, His commands will be taught everywhere. But how does this apply to us today? I got 3 points I want to take a look at. Number one, God should be the focus of all of our lives. As a believer, our focus should be on Him. Not about what we do, but about Him. Jesus tells us in Matthew 22, 37 and 38, and He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." Our love for Christ should be the driving force of our lives. Amen. We are to be obedient to Him because we love Him. We are to be obedient to Him because we understand who He is in our lives. There is nothing, no command, no rule, no law, or just being a good person that will earn our way to heaven. Isaiah 64, 6 says this. It says, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted, are like polluted garments." We have nothing without Christ. It does not matter how good we think we are or how well we treat people. Without a relationship with Christ, that is all worthless. But Jesus tells us in John 14, 6, He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It is all about God's glory and having a relationship with Him. We are obedient because of our love for Him. Number two. And this is, I'm talking about myself, so please understand as well. As a parent, it is our responsibility to teach our children about God. One of the good things about this pandemic, it has opened a huge opportunity for parents to really sit down and discuss the good news of Christ with their children. Are you taking advantage of the time that you have with your kids? Take the time to sit down with your children and discuss their faith. See where they are at in their faith. Whether they have a relationship with Christ and they understand it, or you may find out they really don't. Take that time to talk to them. Be able to try to answer the questions that they have. Take this opportunity to start a Bible study with your children. Do the study with them. I know for myself growing up, not growing up, but with Brenna, my wife does a fantastic job of reading the Bible with my daughter. And at first, about, hey, just make sure you're trying to remind them, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. But then it was like, wait a minute, she's going to read her Bible. Guess what? When we join in that, she'll start reading. And here's the fruit of that. And here's how God has worked in my family so far. Is the fact of it is that now, just the other day, I had a discussion with my own daughter, who is now doing a Bible study with her boyfriend, who is doing a Bible study with another friend, that she sits on the phone at nights with them, looking at the God's Word. But that's what it's about. Take the time. Allow your children to see you studying in your Bible. It shouldn't be a secret. Open your Bible in front of them. If they see that it's important to you, they will start to understand on why it should be important to them. Take this opportunity to teach your children the value of prayer. Give them the opportunity to pray over their meals just to start out. Pray together as a family. Parents, your children will learn the importance of prayer, especially when they see that it is important to you. As a parent, we're to set the example. Also, take advantage of the resources that we have right here. There are several resources that you can take advantage of. Example of one we just started back in the fall, we just renewed for a whole year, is the Right Now Media. You are talking about a resource of thousands of Bible studies for all ages, and even the better part of that, you have access to it from your own home. You can pull it up there. The resources are there. Take advantage of the ministries. I know right now they're not going 100% with everything going on, but guess what? When they do, take advantage of those. Get your children involved in one of the children's ministries, student ministry, or the other ministries that are going on. Yourself, get involved with those ministries. But also take advantage, this sounds weird, of the pastoral staff. We are here for you guys. We're here to serve. That's why we're here. We're here to help build disciples here at Central Baptist Church. Take advantage of us. For all three of us, I can speak for TJ, myself, Mickey. It's no problem. Just call. We are here to help you any way we can. And that's why we're here. To help build disciples. To teach God's Word. And hopefully, in prayer and teaching and encouragement, we'll be sending others out to share the good news of Jesus Christ out in this community. Understand the importance of the opportunity you have every day to help your children grow a strong relationship with Christ. It is there. We just have to look for it and take advantage of that. You are the front line of ministry. You spend more time with your children than anyone. Let me encourage you to spend time with your children in prayer, in Bible study, and take this opportunity to introduce Christ to your children or help them grow in their relationship with Him. But I don't want to forget for those that may not have children at home. They may have grown up, empty nest. You might be taking care of somebody else. There's still an opportunity to teach and to disciple. First and foremost, understand that you have a church family that loves you. You do have a family. And we are here for you just the same. Take advantage of the different resources that the church offers, as I said before, but also get involved in other ministries that are opportunities to teach, to hold each other accountable, that the church offers. This will allow opportunities to learn, to teach, and also to be a part of a church family in a way to also a family that you can hold yourself accountable to, but also have a chance to teach and to learn from. Take advantage of the programs that are offered in the community. I know TJ and I were talking earlier, and he mentioned a program which is a magazine, is CASA. It's an organization that functions to help children and their families in the community. They're always looking for help. That is another way that may allow you the opportunity to teach and share the good news of Jesus Christ out in the community. Which leads us into their third application. God's love should be shared with the world. The good news of Jesus Christ is meant to be shared throughout the world. Your faith and love for God is meant to be shared. Just as in the scriptures in Deuteronomy 6:9, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Our faith and God's love should be seen by others. We should find joy in sharing the good news of Christ with those that need Him. We should be teaching our children and encouraging believers to go out into a dark world and share the good news of Christ. Even in the Great Commission, Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." We are called to go out and share the gospel of Christ. We have this great news of a Savior that came down to this world to die on the cross so that we may have forgiveness of our sins. On that third day, He rose from the grave, defeated death, so that those that put their faith in Him will be saved and spend eternal life with Him. This is the good news we know as believers. We need to share this with the world. So to summarize this, I want everyone to understand that everything we do is about bringing glory to God. We are obedient because we love Him and we understand who He is to our lives. God should be a part of every aspect of our lives. God should be seen throughout our whole being, our attitude, our words, and our actions. God should be seen in our homes, our families, and in our communities. I understand this year has been hard on everybody for many, many, many different reasons. But God is always at work. He is always allowing us the opportunities to share His love with others. Whether you have children or you don't, I cannot express the importance of God's people, of being obedient and sharing God's word with each other and teaching our children. We're talking about generation after generation after generation. As TJ said in the first service, hopefully I'm not taking your thunder a little bit. We're talking about not just this generation now, we're talking about generations that's going to be here down the road that we should be having a solid foundation of Christ. That is what this is about, is God Himself, His glory, and teaching our children to love Him and to share that with their kids and so on and so forth. It doesn't just end with us. This is why it's so important. Parents, let me encourage you. Take this opportunity. At some point in time, this whole pandemic, it's going to end. How it looks at the end of it, we have no idea. Believe me, we're still trying to figure all this out too. But the opportunities that this has opened up to allow us to spend time with our children and to be there to teach them, to share God's word with them, to teach them God's word, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. It's there. And we got to take advantage of that. We should be teaching our children God's word diligently and consistently so they desire Him and want to spend time with Him. It's that desire. We should be building that desire in them so that they want to spend time with Him, that they want to sit down each night and open their Bible up and read about God. We should be creating an environment to create that desire for that they want to spend time with Him in prayer, that they want to spend time with their families in prayer and in worship. And coming to church should be, yes, we need to go to church. We need to come here with my church family and praise and worship our Lord and Savior. Amen. That's what we're to be doing. So instead of focusing on the ugly, when there's plenty of that, why don't we focus on the truth? And that's Christ and His word. So as believers, we should be sharing the good news of Christ with the world. It's not to be silent. Saying I believe but not willing to share it with other people, guess what you're doing? You are sinning. You are not being obedient. Because we're called to go out and make disciples. We are called to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. It is to be active. We are to be active. Our feet ought to be moving out into this community, out into this world. And not just worrying about here in these walls. This is part of it. But out here too, we need to get to those that are lost. Look around us. Let's look around Central Baptist Church and all the homes that we have that are sitting here. How many families that are, example, behind us right now that are sitting in their homes that could be very well here worshiping and praising our Lord and Savior, or we could be at least witnessing to them and encourage them to be here and join us. So God's word is meant to change hearts. It's meant to be heard. And we're the tools that God uses to do that. So let me encourage you. Let's be active. Parents, grandparents, guardians, whoever you might be, there's always that opportunity to teach and share God's love with others. Look for it. The door's open. So take that opportunity. And at the same time, if you need resources and you want resources, do not hesitate to reach out to us. We are here to help. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And gracious Heavenly Father, I can't thank you enough for blessing us, Lord, allowing us to be here today. Father God, and I pray, Lord, that your word is heard. Father, I pray here, Lord, that those that are here, Lord, that they understand the importance, Father, of not just obedience, but loving you. And that love we should be pouring out into others, Father. Father, I pray, Lord, that today, God, if there is anybody in here that does not know you, I pray, God, that you are working on them, that you are changing their hearts, Father God, that they would come to know you, Father, and they would want to be willing to, whether to come up here and talk to myself or any of the other staff or anybody else in here, God, that they're willing to come and ask about you. Father, we just thank you once again just for allowing us to be here today. For it is a blessing every day we can come here together as a church family and worship you. Father, I thank you for my colleagues here, my brothers and sisters that are here, their love for you. But Father, I also pray, God, that we can show that same kind of love that we have for each other to those, to take it out into a lost world. And Father, then we can start here in this community. That in this community, you will be seen. In our homes, you will be seen. And in our lives, God, that you will be seen. Father God, I just thank you once again, for I ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.